I'm Tommy Gimler. Conspiracy alert. The New England Patriots defeated the Seattle Seahawks 28-24 in Super Bowl 49, and nobody was happier about it than this guy. Is Pete Carroll and his old balls responsible for the outcome? We'll discuss.
I'm Andy Ostroff, and Bob Kraft was photographed partying with Ricky Ross following the Patriots Super Bowl victory. Has there ever been a weirder pairing in the history of mankind? Looks like we'll discuss that, too.
I'm Barry Murphy. Warren Sapp was busted in Phoenix for allegedly assaulting two hookers he ordered. We're okay with that arrest.
And I'm Tishon Phillips, and boy, do I love a good juicy taco.
The Daily Updecker, nothing but sports and crap.
All right, guys. Super Bowl 49. Congratulations, Ostrom.
Thank you.
Out of the four of us here, you're by far the biggest Patriots fan. How does it feel to be on top of the world?
It feels good to be back.
Like, do you currently have a girlfriend?
No.
If you did, like, even if you had a wife and any one of the Patriots players, like, you know, walk past, would you let them plow her?
No.
Not even like Brady? Nothing?
No. I would trade with Brady. I would do a trade.
Right. Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
I like that.
She probably would too.
I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I'm a businessman. Yeah. Yeah. So everyone would.
You're not
going
to have a problem convincing her.
Yeah. Like, you want to sex with Tom Brady? Well, I do, Giselle.
Really? That's what she's going to say. Really? You promise?
I think there's a lot of people in the south side of Boston, a lot of Southies, or even just anywhere in New England that would differ with your opinion.
I don't think they'd give Brady their girlfriend. I think they'd have sex with Brady themselves.
Yeah, there would be a lot of that. Fuck Tom Brady.
It's like the one guy they would totally fuck.
But I'm not a fag.
It's not gay if you fuck Tom Brady.
It's not gay at all.
Or Larry Bird. Or Ted Williams' fucking head, you know? Because that's all that's alive in the cryogenics facility.
Ted Williams' head.
Ceramic bust.
Yeah, I fucked Ted Williams' dead head.
The greatest hitter of all time.
It was delightful. Hey,
The reasoning is just
tell
awful.
Me someone that's hit over 400. Tell me someone.
They got a red seat out in the bleachers for him. That's why we do it.
Yeah. He gave me head.
Right there around the pesky pole.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Dynamite star Tishon Phillips, welcome back to the show after your 1 week suspension for alcohol abuse.
Yeah.
Delightful to be back.
Any apologies?
I think I've got my problem.
He wrote an open letter and
under
posted
control,
it on his Twitter account.
I think I'm under control.
Did Johnny Manziel influence you to admit that you have your problem under control?
He influenced that sweatband.
He sure did.
Yeah. He is a role model
anyone
after
that
all.
Anyone who's a real spokesperson for the cause, it's Johnny Manziel.
Do you mean the cause like Bill Cosby?
Are you kind of the Johnny Manziel of this tennis game that you play every Tuesday with like these 6-year-old guys? You like come in, you tell them you're 32.
Yeah. Like, Johnny Tennis.
Johnny Tennis.
Doesn't quite have the ring to it.
We'll get to Johnny Manziel in just a second, but we have much more important things to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the hot mess.
The hot mess.
Super Bowl reacts. I'm not going to lie. After watching the first quarter there, I thought that this was going to be one of the worst Super Bowls of all time. And like I said, I don't even think it was one of the worst Super Bowl quarters of all time. I thought that it was one of the worst quarters of football I'd ever seen before in my life. But after that, I thought it was one of the greatest Super Bowls I've ever seen. Do you guys agree? Was Super Bowl 49 the greatest Super Bowl ever?
I don't know. I have trouble with this question because I'm such a homer. But, I mean, the first quarter to me, I was still just like, you know, nervous. So that was all just nerves for me. I didn't, you know, if it was two teams I didn't care about, then yeah, I probably would have thought it was terrible. But if the Packers were in, you would have loved it.
Right. Well, I mean, was it the fact that I had cash on it that made it so intense that you bet the over and it actually hits, but it hits that late into the game that you're like.
Yeah, but I think most people in your position would go more on the side of greatest game ever if they hit their bet.
Yeah,
like that'll change your opinion of whether it was one of the greatest games ever.
I mean, I think it was a great game in the fact that, you know, that second quarter was awesome. The third quarter, Seattle looked like they were going to take it away, and then the Pats came back in the fourth.
No, it was a great ending. I mean,
10 points down in the fourth? That's never happened before.
I think that first quarter gave a great opportunity for those of us who did not give a shit to eat a lot, to drink a lot, really get prepped for or that great finale. I mean,
I did that before.
And then turn finale. On a rerun of Franklin and Bash.
I did. I started TiVoing. You know, some there was some good golf on actually. At the same time, I made a request. And
T-Show was
several
a big fan.
Parties.
Little picture in picture of the
Pip.
Phoenix
yeah.
Open.
Yeah.
So general consensus then, not the greatest Super Bowl of all time.
I have it third behind the 85 Super Bowl and the Arizona-Pittsburgh Super Bowl with the San Antonio Holmes catch. Yeah. I've got a third in the last 20 years.
Now, what if...
be a little longer now, wouldn't it? 30 years.
So what if... what if Seattle would have scored a touchdown there and scored a touchdown with less than 20 seconds left to give them the win, which it probably would have been the win at that point? Then would it have been the
Pats have any timeouts left there?
They did. I think they had two.
Okay, so you have 30 seconds to kick a field goal, so that's doable.
Right.
Because that field goal would have tied it up.
Field goal would have tied it.
Yeah, there was still room for drama.
That would have been awesome.
All right. So not the greatest Super Bowl of all time. Let's move on.
I thought it was amazing. I mean, I thought the Titans Rams one was awesome too.
Ooh, that was
That was a good one.
But what do you think about all the Super Bowls that the Patriots have been in? They've won a couple of close ones. So
they've all been close. All the Pats ones.
Right. So do you think then at that point, like out of all the Patriots Super Bowls, was this one the best, or was the one where they beat the Rams totally upset?
That one was the best one for me because that was the first one, and that was amazing.
That was a huge upset.
That was so huge. Yeah. Nobody, they didn't think they could beat them.
No, right.
Even though the Pats played them earlier in the season, if it wasn't for an Antoine Smith goal line fumble, they probably could have won that game at Foxborough. But nobody saw it coming. There was also the September 11th year, so there was a big like U.S. sort of pride, and Bono did the halftime show with all
right,
the
so they probably fixed
there was
it.
There's a
it
lot of
great.
Emotions. Yeah, it was probably
it's a beautiful day.
And speaking of conspiracy theories, let's move on here in the hot mess.
The hot mess.
Believe it or not, there is a Pete Carroll conspiracy theory following
right
what took place, right? So there's actually a couple of them, but the biggest one suggests that he wanted Wilson to get the MVP award and not Marshawn Lynch, because obviously Marshawn Lynch being up there on the podium accepting the award and what he was going to talk about afterward, or lack of.
Oh, I haven't heard that spin.
Really?
Oh, that makes sense, though.
Heard, yeah.
Oh, so he didn't want him to go up on the podium?
Well, no, they just didn't want Marshawn Lynch to win MVP. They wanted Russell.
I thought
Wilson.
It was more like, yeah, we want the face of our team
who's
not a free agent.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's the gist of it, that Carroll wanted Wilson to be the hero, so Bevel called a run play, but Pete Carroll changed it.
By the way, did you see...
But Pete Carroll, like... Well,
but he said he didn't change it.
So, right. So he said he didn't change it, but the conspiracy theory was that he did.
Has Lynch said anything? Does anyone know?
No, he doesn't say anything.
But he still
his
won't talk?
Twitter
no, he did.
Went
no,
crazy.
He did. He talked about it, but I really can't. It wasn't like he said anything derogatory like toward the
I also heard they came out this morning and made an offer to him, like a huge extension.
Seattle.
But I haven't seen anything else about it.
Yeah.
Which seems kind of crazy. I think actually though, but if you look at Pete Carroll's coaching, history. He's made a lot of these types of calls.
Oh, like, dude, the end of the like Texas USC game.
Yeah, he's known.
I mean,
for
come
a
on,
lot
you got
this.
Reggie Bush, fourth and two, best quarterback and best running back in the nation, and you got him on the sideline.
But this is another one though. Like, take out the Patriots fan thing. People are also saying Belichick made a bad call by not calling timeout because he had a timeout to. So no, and I'm just saying, say this kid doesn't come up and make an unbelievable play.
His play was awesome. He broke
on that. If that was Darrell Reeves, he's on the cover of USA Today, but he's just not a known kid. Yeah. But if let's say he does score, because it could have easily happened, would Belichick be getting lit up right now for not calling? You know what I mean?
Belichick would have gotten lit up for a variety of reasons if he lost. You know?
But look at,
and then they would have said Pete Carroll's a genius for not running Marshawn Lynch.
Hey, two of the three Seahawks touchdowns were on passing plays. Obviously, the one was out of necessity because it was –
and look at the passing
Matthews
play that got
was
him
on the practice squad in December.
Nobody knew who that guy was when he first
he didn't
scored.
Even know he was on the team. He had to work. I think he worked at a Foot Locker while he was also on the team. Like,
he did.
To make
but he got a good
meet.
Discount on.
There was an over under on how soon he'll be back at the Foot Locker. I'll take the under.
What?
I think he's going to do something really dumb with his 10-day contract money.
Yeah, he's was even there, less known than David Tyree. I mean,
was there an over under that one of the NFL players, one of the players on the field would catch a touchdown and then act like they were going to crap out of football?
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was a weird dance.
That a lot of people weren't talking about that. That was a big 15-yard penalty.
Because NBC cut away from it.
I might do that in the cornhole tournament this weekend.
Just crap out of bag.
Crap out of bean bag.
It applies more, I think.
Yeah. All right, moving on to hot mess. One more topic to talk about, the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl aftermath. I don't know if you saw this, but TMZ posted a video of Patriots owner Bob Kraft at the party afterward.
It was awesome.
And he was up on stage dancing, shucking, and jiving
with Rick
Ross. Didn't
I text you that you had to see the TMZ videos?
I went and checked it out.
Oh, awesome.
So first off, before he even got to the party, they were interviewing him afterward, like, congratulating him, NFL Network or ESPN, somebody. And they're like, what are you going to do tonight to celebrate? And he's like, oh, you guys should all come on down. We're having a big party. Ricky Ross is going to be there. I think this guy Ricky Ross.
I think Kraft has met him before and has called him that.
No, they were ahead of time. Like there were other pictures from earlier in the week with him and Rick Ross hanging out. But
that's funny, man. All
but if you see these guys, if you see these guys on stage, it's like, you know, probably a 30-something, damn near 300-pound black man, hip hop star, partying with a 73-year-old. He's got to be almost a billionaire. Robert Kraft.
Oh, yeah, he's probably billionaire.
So my question for you guys is...
He's got to be a billionaire.
Have you ever seen a crazier pairing than that on stage?
On a stage?
On a stage, or just together, like in front of a TV camera?
The one I think of is back when the Packers won, and it was Aaron Rodgers and Ricky Martin at Rage in West Hollywood. That one was nuts, but I never wanted to admit I was there that night. Because then people are like, oh, you're really gay. But that one was weird. That was weird.
Well, apparently after some of the rumors, it's not as weird as you'd think. You'd be like, oh, now it makes sense.
And I was just, grabbing a burger.
It was Aaron Rodgers' assistant.
They just have really good fish.
They got great burgers. I was just getting in and out. That's why I was so shocked to see it.
So we were talking about this ahead of time. We were saying, like, what to – like, that was pretty shocking to me. Like, you watched that video, and like you said, you watched it five times because it's just so unreal.
It's so funny.
To see two polar opposites.
Well, the pictures were great, too, of, like, Kraft and him, like – Rick Ross, they're like holding the Lombardi trophy, just like laughing.
All right, so you have some good ones here. Let's start going through some of these pairings. What would be crazier than watching Bob Kraft and Rick Ross shuck and jive on stage?
Well, a couple came to mind were JFK and George the Animal Steele. You know, that's an obvious choice. Then I like this one is Wilt Chamberlain and A.C. Green. And for those of you who don't know, Will Chamberlain had sex with over 100,000 women.
No,
and
AC
Green was
a virgin. 20,000 over 40 years.
Yeah, and AC Green was a virgin. But they both played for the Lakers, so there you go.
It would have that would have just been awesome. Like, AC Green would have just been the ultimate wingman wherever you go.
Talk about showtime.
Nah,
and
he
no
didn't
showtime
drink or anything,
right
though.
There. No time and showtime.
I hope it's a big farce and he writes a book with like
AC Green
graphic pictures and
But he was just like, you know, just a crazy
now.
Heavy petter.
He came to Lucha
something like that. It was
week.
Like he was a violent heavy petter.
At right. Rage with Aaron Rodgers. Also I thought maybe John Rocker and George Takei would be good.
That's pretty funny.
Paris Hilton and Bill Gates. No. Brian Williams and fellow journalist Perez Hilton.
What about Brian Williams?
Fellow journalist.
What about Brian Williams partying with the guy who ate out his daughter's ass on Girls?
I'm sure they've shaken
a little awkward, right?
Hands.
And he hadn't washed his face yet.
No,
it would be weird seeing him at the premiere
like
party.
Like,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's
she
be
had
a little...
to have been wearing something back there.
Yeah.
We had a discussion about
we talked about that. Yeah. I thought maybe like the one I wanted to see is I don't think I've seen this yet. Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus up there at the same time. They're both, you know, pop stars, but I just want to make sure that they're not the same person. So I would love to see them up on stage.
I think Vern Troyer, you know, Mini Me and anybody is kind of a weird
George
pairing.
George Muirson
and Manute Bol. That'd be weird.
Moving on, Rex Ryan changed his tattoo, and this was somehow news. The Bills coach changed a tattoo of his wife, who was wearing a Sanchez jersey, to a blue Bills jersey.
I think it was more news because he took his shirt off.
Right, and that's what we're talking about here. So you saw him without his shirt, and you're like, oh, my God, that guy has tits. Like, they really are. The last time I saw tits like that, I saw an old film of my grandpa in, like, a rowboat, and he's sitting out there with his shirt on, and it's like, oh, my God, grandpa's got tits. So I challenge you guys right now, name five women. T-Shawn, if you haven't seen a picture of it yet, you have to look at a picture. Name five women in Hollywood that he has bigger tits than. I'll say Kate Hudson, number one.
I'll go with Paris Hilton, though I think
you guys updated me
that she has new boobs.
It's not even close. She's got huge tits.
Well, I mean.
She got new boobs.
I'm behind the times.
Miley Cyrus, yeah.
Miley Cyrus?
I don't know if this is true, but I hope it is. Zooey Deschanel? Not a big fan of her. I don't know why.
You think she wears a push-up?
So you hope she has small tits just so you're
I think
like,
she's like artsy-fartsy girl, works at the record store, and like doesn't care what anyone thinks, doesn't wear deodorant for a couple days.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mila Jovovich, perhaps?
Ooh, I don't know about that. You think so?
Yeah. I don't know. A Disney star?
I mean, I do find her lovely, though.
Dakota Fanning?
I do have a
is
question,
Is Dakota
though.
Fanning over age 18? Can we say that?
Yeah.
Close.
She's got to be.
She's
got to be.
Close.
Anyways, I got a question about
this,
though.
She is. Elle Fanning, her sister may not be.
Rex.
Then she applies.
Is Rex Ryan going to last in Buffalo? Like, you just changed it? What happens if he's fucking selling pizzas in 2 years? Is he just going to change it to a generic NFL jersey like Craig Hodges at the 93 three-point contest?
It says a lot.
Is that what it was?
He
was
the generic NBA jersey.
Because he wasn't on a team.
He was a free agent. He won it 3 years in a row, and then he didn't get picked up by any teams. And they were like, well, you can still do the three-point contest. He wore a white jersey that said NBA.
Wow.
I feel like Jason Terry's NBA, the 2011 Dallas Mavericks, before they won the title, he got a Mavericks NBA champs on his bicep.
That's huge.
That's pretty crazy.
That's
bold. What's his name? Fucking shit. Running back for the LaDainian Tomlinson. He had the Chargers logo and the years he played on his calf, and then the other calf, he had the Jets logo. Ew. And he said the year, and then put a dash, and then didn't have the other year yet.
Yeah, he just called up Rex and said, "Who's your guy to get this shit off my leg?" Yeah.
I think Pete Campbell was like,
and Rex was like, "Enough about the Cavs. Tell me about your feet, sir."
But here was the funny thing. So, all right, so his wife was wearing the Sanchez jersey when she had the Jets jersey on the tattoo. Mm-hmm. But now you were saying, like, the dude, if like he kept it number six, it's like
the
punter.
Number six, yeah.
Or the kicker.
Punter or kicker, one of those dudes.
Well, and how do you actually change the green to blue? Like, I know yellow and blue make green.
You just recolor it. I guess you just draw over it.
That says a lot that he didn't want the Bears job. It would have been an easy switch to Cutler. He didn't even want to talk about it. He's like, now I'll take the punter of the Bills.
We'll see if Cutler's even on the Bears.
My wife doesn't like Cutler. Let's hope not.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah. Moving on.
Murph, this is a very special story for us here in the Hot Mess.
The Hot Mess.
You personally, not necessarily me. Horace Grant went on the radio today and told a story about Will Perdue and Michael Jordan in practice. Basically, he said that Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson used to put him on the second team all the time. And then he would put Grant and Scottie Pippen on the first team. And it would infuriate Jordan, like, you know, to no end. So at one point they were in practice and Will Perdue kept setting illegal screens. And Jordan, after the first one, said, like, Will, don't do that again. And then it happened a second time. Jordan got pissed. The third time, Michael Jordan punched him right in the face. 2 days later, they got on a plane to go somewhere, and Will Perdue had a huge shiner.
Yeah, in that same interview, Horace Grant was also like, thank God they didn't have social media back then.
Right. So what
And Phil Jackson. He also talked about Phil Jackson had to hang up a curtain around the practice so people couldn't see shit like this because it happened a lot.
What, like local media?
Any reporters, anybody. But I do find it interesting that it's like kind of okay to talk about how big of a dickhead MJ was back then.
Yeah, but it's like there's so many of those guys. You tell me Larry Bird never punched somebody. Like,
oh,
it happens. Like,
there's
I don't
such
know.
Competitors.
Kobe's done some shit, too. Come on.
Well, there was that tape a couple weeks ago. Right, told Kobe at practice.
He did put his just dick in that one place. He shouldn't have.
I'm trying to find if Will Perdue, I don't know which of these Will Perdue Twitters is his. There's so many weird ones. But, like,
he
might sit
one.
There and say it was totally fine, and it caused me to take my game to another level because I was a pussy before I played with Jordan.
Also, Will Perdue was like, he was a huge puss, and Phil Jackson couldn't play him a lot because he couldn't play defense. And one time in practice, Perdue came around and to set a screen on Jordan. Jordan knew the play and thought he was going to run through Perdue, and for some reason, Perdue like held his ground or whatever, and Jordan went flying across the room, and Jordan got in his face like, "Well, the fuck can't you set a screen like that in a game?"
Yeah, that's good. I like that sort of shit.
That's good
stuff. Did Will Perdue play at Purdue University before he played
the
Bulls?
No,
that would have been just Purdue. Too awesome, no. Right?
He played on the.
He spells
team.
It different.
he does, dude. Yeah. But yeah.
But also, how many NBA players do you think didn't know that?
I don't know.
Back to MJ being a jerk, man. When he lived in DC, like DC did not like MJ. The same way that Chicago liked him. I mean, you can get away with a lot of shit when you're the best basketball player in the world. But one of my friends worked at the cigar bar when he was in D.C. and Michael Jordan came in. And there was a girl at the, you know, like a bartender or something there. And one of Jordan's guys went up and was like, excuse me, would you like to have sex with Michael Jordan tonight? Or something like that. The
girl that he like, really, Michael Jordan had that
the,
guy?
The dude, yeah, he had people.
I've had a few friends do that.
And the dude
that their job was to go out and say, "Hey,
absolutely.
I know Michael
dude,
Jordan.
He had
you
like
want
a girl
sex
in
with.
Every city? Everything,
you ever been to Tampa? You got to do
Tampa.
It.
Tampa." But anyways, she said no, and so they were leaving. And Jordan just sort of looks at her and under his breath goes, "Bitch,
come on,
he's right."
So was there when your buddies when your buddies did this?
I don't even know who Jordan was.
When your buddies did this, was there ever a dollar amount, or was it just a straight up? You want to fuck Michael Jordan?
No. This is My buddies didn't do. I don't know if there's a bottom.
You said he had buddies that would go out and do this.
No, I was talking about for me. I would have my friends go out and do that.
Yeah. Of course, Jordan did it. The best pickup line.
See the guy at the end of the bar. He works on Shark Tank. You ever seen that show?
I probably mumbled some shit at him if they said no too.
The best pickup line similar to that though was Mutombo. He used to just go up to girls and be like, "Do you want to fuck Mutombo?"
He used to come into parties.
Fuck Mutombo.
He would bust in apparently at Georgetown and be like, "Who wants to fuck the mighty Mutombo?"
Oh, that's great. He really did that?
I'd do it if I were him.
He probably still does that.
He probably
people
does.
Are like the who, the what,
and more people would probably recognize him from the Geico commercial than like the NBA.
Dude, by the way, is Icky Woods not the new spokesperson of Geico?
That's unbelievable.
He's got like 11 commercials.
Oh, we digress. Moving on to the last topic here in the hot mess. It's the Maine New Hampshire hockey sign that we didn't get a chance to talk about a week and a half ago, but we have to because it's the greatest sign I've ever seen. But maybe you guys can shed some light on a sign that's greater. If you didn't see it, the University of Maine hosted the University of New Hampshire in a hockey game about a week and a half ago, and there were some students way up top in the upper deck. They brought in two signs. One was the New Hampshire Wildcat, and it had a big mouth on it, and the other sign was a penis, and literally they held the two signs together so it looked like the New Hampshire Wildcat was taking down a shaved penis.
Yeah, it lasted like 60 seconds.
It did, but I mean, it lasted long enough that people were able to take pictures of it and get it up on social media.
What lasted 60 seconds? What are we
sign,
talking about? The way the sign. Okay,
correct. Right, before someone got up there and took it away. So, I ask you guys: is this the greatest, basically FU sign of all time?
I'd have to say it's pretty great, but I happened to Google greatest sports signs, and if this is number 50, this is an incredible sign. It says Purdue, / keeping ugly girls out of IU since 1869.
That's pretty great.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like an old one, too. There. It's like in the 80s because everyone's got their hat like.
I don't know.
Everyone's got their hat on straight.
I find the penis going into the Wildcat's mouth a little lowbrow for my tastes, but...
It's Maine, New Hampshire.
They're fueled by beer, man. It's cool.
That's all they got. Most of these people still have dial-up connections.
I think the most inventive fans are probably the Duke ones in Cameron Stadium with their just being insane, like holding up underwear and stuff. Like, they're pretty crazy.
Hold up underwear.
Yeah, they hold up like they'll hold up like lingerie behind the backboard to try to get the other guys to miss or something ridiculous. They're such nerds too, but they'll come up with some great stuff. And also the I like the nerdy schools like when College Game Day when College Game Day did from Harvard, the Harvard Yale game, mm-hmm. the Harvard signs were just pretty impactful.
As they should be.
Yeah, they put some thought into those.
Me, I've never seen anything like that. So I thought that was pretty. It was very inventive. I don't know, right? Have you ever heard of this before going on? You would think that in today's day and age.
I don't know. I feel like someone must have thought about it, but it was like, yeah, it's in poor taste.
No way.
And these kids were like, fucking do it. Do it, bro.
I think it was a good use of non-words, actually. Usually a sign has words, and the sign had no words.
Yeah, it was.
But
it
spoke loudly.
Clearly.
Yeah, even, it spoke even all loudly. The illiterate people in like the northern regions of this country could get it. They knew what point they were trying to get across.
It was a particularly pale looking penis. Just
yes, it was. That was definitely a New England penis.
One game day side I liked it. Lee Corso has a baby arm, and it was like right next to his head.
This one's a Browns fan.
I didn't even know what baby arm meant. I had to look it up.
It says, "Hey Baltimore, can you take this team too?"
That's pretty great.
I think like Jimmy Kimmel. I think Jimmy Kimmel Live does like a feature on a lot of the.
Oh, they did the game. Oh, they
Kimmler, you'd love
year,
this
yeah.
one. It's a picture of Lou Holtz, and the thought bubble is Shrixty Shree Shreveteet.
Well, I had said that, so I wrote an article on it last week, and I said, perhaps the only thing that could top this combo is if some student shows up for College Game Day this fall with that penis and a Lou Holtz fat head.
Bruce Pearl is half the man that Pat Summitt is.
That's pretty good. Bruce Pearl did paint himself orange and show up at the cool Pat spirit. Summitt. Yeah, cheer her on for winning games.
Speaking of orange, guys, Let's talk about some guys who are going to be wearing some orange in the near future.
Look at that
it's
transition.
Time to move on. It's time for the pile.
The pile.
Warren Sapp, guys. This one is so great, ladies and gentlemen. Hall of Fame defensive tackle and former NFL Network analyst was arrested Monday morning at like 2:30. This went down at like 2:30 in the morning. He was finally arrested at 7 a.m. after he allegedly assaulted two hookers that he ordered. And then there was an argument over the money he had to pay after they serviced him. So.
Classy guy.
Right. Well, I mean, it makes sense. You know, he claimed bankruptcy a couple of years ago, so he's all about watching his money. I'm sure
How
everyone
was
like, hey, you
got fucking bankrupt.
Well, 18 cars, 6 houses, whatever. So, I don't know if you got a chance to see this as well. Did you guys see the tweet that Eric Weddle put up?
I saw that. That sure was funny.
It is unbelievable. So, this is way back in on July 27, 2011. Warren Sapp tweeted when the it was the Chargers, right? Eric Weddle played for the Chargers.
Yeah.
So, he got $8 million a year when he signed his contract with the Chargers. $8 million a year for a safety you couldn't pick out of a lineup! ! That's what Warren Sapp just said. So, Eric Weddle retweeted that today and said, "Thank you for the motivation the last 4 years. Really appreciated it. Hashtag who is in the lineup now."
Yeah, that's good. Well played.
Andy Ostrop, defend your client.
Yeah, are you ready, Judge?
I'm ready.
Judge T'Shawn Phillips.
I'm going to say Warren Sapp is not at fault here.
And, of course, you're defending him.
Why? Who is? The NFL. They know every year that a player or personality will get arrested for hookers, and yet they still don't have the Super Bowl in Vegas or the Netherlands or another country where prostitution is legal. NFL's to blame.
Yeah, that's
it's
interesting.
It's part of the culture.
Barry Murphy put him behind bars.
Well, I think the facts speak for themselves here. The two nice young ladies came over to his room to provide him.
They were escorts. They were escorts.
They were. They simply asked for the money that was due to them. Mr. Sapp then decided to not pay up, and he decided to rough them up a little bit. And the bottom line is, I won't waste too much more time with this. We need to make a stance, and I think that happens now.
I think there are two actually, one surprisingly strong argument about, I love to put NFL on trial, of course, but I also believe that the two young ladies were probably of legal age, and Mr. Sapp has a long history of
debauchery.
Of debauchery and buying this brand of pussy at other Super Bowls. So I say put him in the slammer.
Nice. That's like you it. Just said that because he doesn't like dogs.
That was ridiculous. Remember that? That was Warren Sapp. Remember the Packers were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And Favre threw an interception, of course, and he launched and took out Chad Clifton and basically put him in a hospital that night.
Oh, yeah.
And ended his year right there. So Sherman was the coach at the time, and at the end of the game went up and basically told him, like, hey, that was chicken shit. Because like if you looked at the TV screen, the interception, all the action was going on down here. Chad Clifton was up here and was just kind of like jogging back. And he just launched into him, took him off of his feet, and he was out for like the rest of the year. So Sherman comes up and was like, hey, that's chicken shit. So he's, put a jersey on. Let's go. He's so tough. And that's, I think, the mentality of what we're talking about here. So what was the ruling?
Jail.
All right. Moving on here in the pile.
The pile.
Lance Armstrong, old one nut, threw his girlfriend under the bus after hitting two parked cars in Aspen in December. So what she did is she came out. He hit these cars, apparently, and he had been drinking at like an art museum party or whatnot. He hit the cars, so they took the car. They took whatever
they
car they were driving. Yeah, they were parked on the side of the road. So he took their car, they parked it at wherever they were, and then she walked back down and, you know, reached out to the owners of the car and said, hey, sorry, I was driving, you know, I accidentally hit him. Here's my insurance, all that stuff. And she thought that would be the end of it. But the cops investigated because in Aspen there's a law that you have to call the cops after any accident. She said she didn't know this. So they basically kind of told her, like, hey, we have video, all this stuff that basically, you know, says your story's bullshit. So then she finally changed the tone of her story and was like, yeah, I was just covering for him so it wouldn't become a national story.
Was he drinking Mick Ultra?
At this point, probably not. I don't think he cares anymore.
Okay.
Barry Murphy, defend your client.
Well, unfortunately, I wish my client's name was Bob Smith because this wouldn't be a story. But Anna Hansen is clearly a sociopath. Lance did not ask her to do this for him at all. This was a simple, I've had a few too many. I think any spouse would do the same for their significant other. He was fully ready to call up old Geico or whoever the hell he went with and pay his $500 deductible. He's got the money. I think Miss Hansen here needs some treatment.
I think that Lance Armstrong's probably more of a nationwide guy.
I just want to go back to the evidence that there is a videotape of them switching seats and getting out of the car. So we see who hit the car. Plus, I don't know. I feel like the defense is just used to being lied to by Lance Armstrong, and they have blinders on. They've just been lied to by Lance Armstrong for so long that they're just accepting of this. And I think that's wrong, and Lance Armstrong shouldn't lie to you or take advantage of anyone anymore.
I don't know what the word is you say in court to argue. I'm having a brain fart, but I would like to say that has nothing to do with this case. What is the word when you want to step in?
Objection?
Objection?
I think it's based on the fact that this side doesn't know what objection
world for
is.
Seven straight years has nothing to do with the
objection that was stupid.
I'm just saying he's just so used to lying that he can't stop.
Order
in the court. The court is also so accustomed to being lied to by Lance Armstrong that we rule in his favor.
Oh.
Yeah, you rule in his favor. So you give this one number.
He's off. Interesting. Yeah, he's got the one ball and all sorts of other problems. And
we'd so also like to get a restraining order on Miss Hansen. We don't think she's
I'm just stable. I'm so conditioned to listening
so
to
this. So that's a pity ruling then.
It
for
is.
Lance
it is
Armstrong.
It is a pity ruling.
All right, everything's starting to come up Lance again right there. That's nice. Number three here in the pile. Quinn Johnson, the former NFL fullback, was charged with assault after repeatedly beating his girlfriend and eventually pulling a gun on her when she wouldn't turn over the password to her phone so he could delete all the videos that she took of him threatening her.
This looks bad for him. Looks bad for him.
Andy Ostroff, defend your client.
I feel there are two things to blame in this case. One, the police. They've come to the house multiple times on multiple accounts, and they keep thinking something's okay. So he can stay there with his gun. I mean, the guy sits there with a gun on his lap. Because why? He is mentally unstable. Plead insanity.
I think it's a pretty obvious sign when before the defense even starts, the judge goes, this is going to be a rough one for him. The key word here, Your Honor, is repeatedly. We all think it's okay to do it once, but you can't do it a bunch of times.
Well, he thinks it's okay to do it seven times in a month. Obviously insane.
Right. So wait, you agree with me.
Yeah, so this is you're defending this guy. And you just
No. I'm saying he should not be tried as a criminal. He deserves to be put into treatment.
No, this is more like Idiocracy when you're Dax Shepard and you're like, I object. Insanity. I object and he won't have enough money to pay me when he's
This is insanity.
Tijon Phillips, how do you rule on that?
He needs to be treated by a professional from
Mr.
the state.
Mr. Ostroff, that is enough. The mighty Quinn Johnson is hereby ruled insane. I agree with the defense.
Hey,
oh, that's unbelievable.
Defense.
Insane, but you agreed with the defense?
Yeah, because I said he was insane. He's not getting pressed.
We'll have to take some different measures, put him in a different
he's
kind of institution.
Treatment.
Yeah, speaking of insane, listen to this guy.
Crazy.
Listen to this
he's
guy
crazy.
Here. Terrence Cody. Now, we touched on this briefly a couple weeks ago, but it just came out that the former Ravens nose tackle has been charged with animal cruelty after putting his dog, which is now dead, up against an alligator. Andy Ostroff, laughing. Defend your client.
Okay. This man wasn't being cruel to this animal. What happened was Terrence Cody had an alligator. He also had a dog. He was keeping them apart for quite some time. However, the alligator and the dog seemed to get used to one another. Terrence Cody had been watching a video on YouTube where in Georgia, you got a lion, you got a tiger, and you got a bear. They're all best friends. Have you seen that video? It's really cool. They were all owned by a drug dealer. They separated these animals.
You're losing me. You got
they
15
separated
seconds.
These animals, and they seconds. Were dicks. They put the animals together. They love each other more than anything. Terrence Cody had a fucking dog. He had an alligator. He also had a camel that was not named in this suit, and he was going to keep them all together, make them all happy.
Here's
he
where
a menagerie.
The problem with your little lion bear story is, if I'm Mr. Cody, I would put a different animal in there before my beloved dog, and let's see if the alligator snuggles with him. And then let's try my best friend, who I brought. You know, the man overdid it on substances once again. He thought his dog was bigger than he was, and this is absolutely ridiculous. I'm glad a child didn't get eaten.
So the court is nearly taken by this story. It nearly had the makings of a really choice children's fable. Had this ended
Terrence
properly.
Cody and the alligator?
And the doggy and the alligator.
His alligator, Sydney.
And however, this did end badly for the dog. So I think we should put the alligator in prison.
Oh. So what is this, a mistrial then?
Mistrial, indeed.
Oh, mistrial.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just want to get high as
it
fuck.
Could,
and put
it could
dog
still be
a
children's fable. It could still be a children's fable. I mean, not everyone survived in Bambi.
Called Don't Put Your Dog in the Cage with the Alligator.
And it's a long title, but it's a good
alligator.
One.
All right, moving on. We're gonna jump ahead here to the three Bradley basketball players who are going to face discipline after an incident involving fake IDs, underage drinking, and unruly behavior at Big Al's strip club in Peoria. Murph, defend your clients.
You know, my clients, they're young men, and they were taken in by... Have you seen the advertising for Big Al's strip club? Yeah, it's the only website in that hillbilly part of the country that has video on the website. And if you're a college kid, you're going to get seduced by this. I think the people we should be looking at is Big Al and his disgusting business he's running.
It is
not
a good
not
video,
my three
though.
Clients who one of them was averaging 13.8 points a game. Where are they going to make up that score?
Yeah, you can't bring that guy up there. Maybe the other guy, sure. Osra, put these guys somewhere other than on a basketball court.
The legal drinking age.
It is ruining your case.
I work at Big Al's for a reason.
It's called World Famous Big Al's for a reason. They're famous for following the laws. What happened was they got fooled by some fake IDs. Not their fault. These three Bradley basketball players are to blame.
You know, one of the fake IDs belonged to like an older guy on the team.
Yeah. By the way, I feel like the court should have set their bail at more than $160.
It's a lot of money, Dan.
Did
you read that? $160 was his bail.
I'm sorry, I'll take a night in prison.
I don't know how this type of case ever reached my high court, truthfully. I, you know, send these young men to go pick up some garbage at the side of the freeway, and that's fine.
So who are you ruling in favor of then here?
I don't know. Does anyone really lose there? I mean, the people
if
win
if they go to pick up
garbage? Yeah. You know, they have to, you know, they got to do some community service. Don't mess with the fucking judge.
Fact or fudge?
So, with everything going on this weekend, I don't know if you guys saw this. Tiger Woods was back in the news for two reasons. One,
he got a new tooth.
He shot an 82. Well, I suppose three. So, one, his
he got
tooth
a new tooth.
Fixed. His tooth is fixed. It's ready to go. He shot an 82, which is his worst round ever as a pro.
He was dead last, was he not?
At the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
I think he just went for the Super Bowl parties and hookers.
Now, second, I was reading this today. He has just 344 days left to come up with $54.5 million to pay Elon, or she gets his Jupiter Island mansion.
No. Doesn't he just have that shit like lying around?
So that leads us into, well, you would think, right? You would think. So now that leads us into our fact or fudge question, and it's backed by popular demand. It went over so well last time. Is this the name of a woman Tiger Woods plowed, which would be a fact if it is, or not? Fudge. Example, Tracy Ports. That would be fudge because she is my sister. All right.
You sure it's fudge?
I'm pretty sure it's fudge.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure she's had sex.
Have you ever
millennium.
Asked Tracy if she's had sex with Tiger Woods?
She would not. She does not take the road less traveled. Here we go.
All right.
Pretty sure a lot of people have traveled down that road.
Oh yeah, it's all new names because we did this one.
All new names, all new.
It is. So we did once and four. So yeah. I went through the entire list of 121 women, and I found
that the list is 121.
120, and I'm sure that's not even everybody, but you know this is going to be pretty good. I would say that the over under for you know the winning total is 1.5.
Really?
All right, T'Shawn Phillips.
You know we have a 50% chance of getting it, right?
All right, Andy.
Oh, I'm first?
Factor fudge.
Okay.
Did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not? Anya Lewiska.
Anya Lewiska?
Anya Lewiska.
Fudge.
That is correct.
Yes.
That is Anya Lewiska recently embarked on a noble quest to break the world record for the largest number of sexual partners in history. Her desired target was 100,000 men. She's a 21-year-old from Poland who looks like she's speaking of hot messes, she's a hot mess.
Let's see.
But she did not bang Tiger Woods. Is that what
not we yet. I'm pretty sure that unless he played at the Polish Open.
She's not even attractive.
That pose.
That's a scrumptious, gnarled-looking piece of flesh.
She's got sexuality record on the sign that she's holding up. All right, Zay, congratulations.
All right, nice. Andy, one
Andy
point
Ostrov
for you.
Andy
Ostrov won. Thanks, Murph.
Barry Murphy, Factor Fudge. Did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not? Anna Swan.
Oh, I think that's a yes. I think I've heard that name.
Anna Swan.
Yeah, Murph, you might have heard Anna Swan's name because she is a remarkable woman who set a number of records relating to her bulk, including what is most likely the world's biggest vagina. Back when she lived.
So he didn't?
He did not. At the age of 19, she was 7'8" tall.
Oh, wow.
Lived between 1846 and 1888.
But when you were looking up huge chicks that you want to fuck, Anna Swan came up.
She's up there.
Wow. Too cavernous for Tiger Woods.
That's right. Not even Tiger.
He couldn't fit his whole bag of clubs in.
Oh, factor fudge, Andy. Did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not? Jamie Jungers.
Is that Jungers or Youngers?
It could be a soft J.
Jamie Jungers. I'm going to say yes, he did. Fact.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Jungers says she and Tiger had wild and crazy sex against a wall.
Ooh,
she also claims to have slept with Woods the night his father died.
Oh, it was that
this
one.
Who is this chick?
I remember that.
A winner.
She allegedly once worked as a stripper, parlayed her newfound fame in the jobs pitching vodka and an auction website. She also appeared on the Today Show and Dateline.
Pick.
How do you get a boner the night your father dies?
Right, I'll look up the pic.
That's hardcore. That he might really have a sex
addiction. I
remember
hearing that one.
Right?
Might really? Didn't they already say that? Yeah. Oh, Big Al's website's still up there.
All right, moving on. 2-1, 2-1. Andy, 2.
Murph, 0.
Murph, 0.
Nope. No, 2-0.
I thought he got that right.
No, he was very wrong. It was the world's biggest vagina.
That's why I needed the pen to keep score, and I still can't seem to do it. Huh? Okay. Fair enough. 2-0. 2-0. A little revised score there.
Oh, there she is.
Murph, Factor Fudge. Did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not? Rachel, with a Y in there. Coudrier. Rachel Ooh. Coudrier.
Rachel is R-A-Y-C-H-E-L Coudrier or Coudrier?
I'm going to say this is one of Tommy's famous swerves. He thinks that's a very sophisticated name, but yet it's not. I think Tiger Woods banged her.
Tiger Woods did bang her.
Ah,
he did.
Right, there we go. Good guess.
It was a guess.
Yeah. Rachel, take a guess. You'll never guess on who she was.
Ooh,
well, it's pretty vague.
She was Tiger Woods' neighbor.
Oh,
yeah, the daughter of Tiger Woods' neighbor, and
wow.
He nailed her when she was 21 years old. So I mean,
how do you spell Coudrier?
C O U D R I E T. Rachel Coudrier.
D-R-I-E-T.
Was that a birthday bang? Was that 21?
I didn't say.
That's kind of a Don Draper move to bang your neighbor. That's pretty sick. He probably saw that on
the daughter of your neighbor.
He's just like, how about you?
The daughter of the neighbor.
Can you imagine when you move in, you know, you're drinking beers with this guy? Like, you know, hey, how are you? It's the daughter of your neighbor.
Yeah.
Is this the Jupiter Mark Tremor? Is this the Jupiter Island home?
It's a California move right there.
That is. It is. It's Don Draper.
Now, do you think the neighbor
Mark Chimura, too. I think that's Mark Chimura.
All right, we're moving on. Andy Factor Fudge. Did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not? Julie Possel.
Julie Possel. P-O-S-S-I-L? Like
no,
Possel?
No. I don't know if you're allowed to know.
Julie Possel is P-O-T-S-L-E. Oh, P-O-S-T-L-E. Like
apostle.
Yeah, Julie Postel.
Those were differently spelled, but one of them is correct. Julie Postel.
I think this one is someone Tommy went to high school with. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Fudge.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
Julie Postel allegedly met Woods when she worked as a cocktail waitress in Orlando. Tiger was reportedly obsessed with Postel and really hunted her. She was also photographed in a bikini once.
You got a pick?
That's a weird fact.
Popping it up right now. Yeah, I mean, that's doesn't say much about her.
Barry Murphy, Factor Fudge. Did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not? I feel like we've seen this name before. Gimler, I think we've heard this name before. Mindy Lawton. Mindy Lawton.
That'd be another swerve. Ooh, it's a swerve.
Mindy Lawton.
Just to tie up the game.
Oh, shit, it is.
I don't know if he liked fat Jewish girls. I'm going to say no.
That is incorrect. He did.
Damn it.
He did nail her. The reason, even if I did put it on last time, she was by far the ugliest of the chicks that he nailed. This was the IHOP waitress, the red-haired one. She's atrocious.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah, we were talking about this earlier. What was the?
Mindy Lawton.
Was it IHOP?
This is the IHOP waitress where it was like, you know, what did she move on and like manage a Schlotsky's deli or something?
Schlotsky's. Was she even more foul than Anya Lewiska?
Yeah, she's up there. I would almost throw it in Anya. I mean, as long as I'm first or second, I don't want to be like 99,000.
Wow. Tiger, come on, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you see some of these girls and you're like, man, he might really have a problem.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Look at that. I don't want Elin. I want
show
this.
It this way.
Ooh. That's got to be a better picture. She looks like a woman that a Lifetime movie's based on.
No, she looks like an IHOP waitress. That's exactly what she looks
Fred
like.
Fred Willard was beating her in a movie. Not Fred Willard. Who am I thinking of? Fred Savage.
That's even funnier than Fred Willard would be beating her.
You didn't think I confused a lot?
Fred
Willard.
That's good shit. All right, back to you, Andy. Still with a
Tracy
lead, 2-1.
Factor Tiger
Fudge.
Woods.
Factor Fudge, Andy.
Allegedly.
Did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not? Carolyn Berger.
Oh, the Berg.
Not spelled like the delicious American sandwich.
It's not?
No.
Ah, shit. Now I'm confused. I'm going to say Fudge.
That is correct.
Yes. Who was Carolyn Berger?
Carolyn Berger was the porn star, also known as Sexy Cora.
Sexy Cora?
She had aimed to, she was trying, I don't know if it was a record, but she was trying to suck off 200 guys.
You're big on these records today.
She collapsed after reaching her 75th man and was rushed to the hospital with breathing difficulties.
Wow. Did you make up the suck off part?
Yeah. What was the name
such
of
a
what was her
thing to say?
What was her porn name?
Of course, it's like
the Sexy Cora.
Porn star Sexy Cora.
Sexy?
Sexy Cora. She's going to be missed. All right, Murph, you basically need this one. You need this one to stay alive here. Here we
pretty
go.
Much,
we've got Andy Ostroff 3. Andy Ostroff just is a factor fudge.
Yeah, he's a guru.
He's a guru. It's unbelievable. Factor. All right, Andy 3, Barry 1.
I was just blessed. Sorry.
Yeah, factor fudge. did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not? Sandy Patterson.
Come on with that. Sandy Patterson?
Sandy.
Such a nice name.
It is.
It is.
I know what I'd guess.
She sounds like a Cosby girl, not a Tiger girl. I'm going to say... Try a
cappuccino.
Yes, he did.
He did not. Sandy Patterson.
Yes, also.
Sandy Patterson is the name of Jason Bateman's character in Identity Thief.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
Sandy Patterson, yes.
But I'm with you, Murph. That could, it could be more of a... Maybe that's a new game. Cosby Girl or Tiger Girl?
Ah, yeah. That is a good game.
Or both.
We'll have to revisit that a little bit. Or both.
Is there any crossover? That would be something.
Or Urban Dictionary sex move.
All right, I think we have time to keep going here. But if Andy... all right, so it's 3-1. If Andy, if you get this, the game is over. If not, Murph stays alive. Here we go.
Holy shit.
Possibly the final Factor Fudge question of the evening.
It's going to be positively possum if I get
this. All right. All right. Here we go. Factor Fudge, Andy. Did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not? Mindy Friel.
That's a Jewish name.
That is.
Mindy
Friel.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes.
He did not. That is my cousin.
Well, maybe God let's call her up. Call her up.
What do you think she's doing right now?
That is terrific.
Sleeping, probably.
All right, Murph, big news. That's great. That's great you got it wrong. You're still alive.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Go ahead, T-Shaw. Give him a new girl.
All right, Factor Fudge, did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not?
This broad.
I call her broad. She's my cousin.
Teresa Rogers.
Oh, that's a yes.
That is correct.
That's a Tiger Woods banging ass.
That is correct. Barry Murphy back on the board. Teresa Rogers.
Sorry, 3-2.
3-2.
Wait, who was Teresa Rogers? Does she have a bio?
She does.
And a pick?
Teresa Rogers has been described as a cougar who allegedly boasted that she taught Tiger everything he needed to know to be a great lover.
Did she fuck him like
she reportedly conceived a baby while she was seeing Woods, but an article suggests she believes the father is a Serbian basketball player. She was also seen at the same time.
Tiger's like, my child. My child Teresa looks like Vlade Divac. What is
Rogers.
Happening, Teresa?
Rogers.
What the heck are you doing?
Rog, no D.
Who's the dude who played for the Trailblazers?
Dragan Petrovic?
Sabonis?
No. Sabonis.
Yeah.
Arvidas?
Yeah. Arvidas Sabonis.
The big sloth.
All right. Here we go.
All right. So we've got 3 for Andy, 2 for Barry. Still, if Andy gets this one, it's over.
It is over. Factor Fudge, did Tiger Woods plow this broad or not? Casey Jenkins.
Oh, damn it.
That's a Tiger fucking name.
Casey's a great name. Yeah. That's got fucking...
It might even be a guy.
It's Casey with a C. Casey with a C.
Pancake House? Waffle House?
Casey's Sunshine Band.
Chicken and Waffles Waitress, maybe?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Casey Rogers? What
Jenkins.
Is it?
Casey Jenkins.
I did do Casey with a K once.
I hope it's like a dude.
K and a C. Not back to back, though.
All right, let's have an answer.
Yeah.
That is incorrect. Casey Jenkins was never plowed by Tiger Woods. Casey Jenkins is the name of a woman who can knit things with her vagina.
Jesus.
Sure.
Is that with the Kegel muscles?
She's a performer and a craftivist from Melbourne, Australia.
A craftivist.
Her project includes knitting from her vagina, but it wasn't meant to freak everyone out. It was actually meant to make more people at ease with women's vulvas.
Wow. Mm. So I believe that's the
more
Kegel
aware
muscle
of what you can do
using.
With it.
Is it
the
Kegel
yeah.
muscle, does it say?
Don't set limits.
I bet you that's she's an amazing leg.
Does she
man.
Knit
that's,
tiny socks?
Yeah, what else could she do?
I'm not sure. All I know is that this one right here, Murph, is huge.
Well, this will be the first ever tie.
It would be. If he gets it, it's
oh, there's
it's
no,
huge.
There are no more questions.
No, we've run out of people.
Yeah. We run out of people. We run out of time. This is what it is
there
right
it is.
Here,
for
Murph.
The tie.
I'm going to take a dive.
Everyone loves a good tie. Like Factor ties. Fudge. Barry Murphy.
You're going to try to take a dive.
I did
Woods.
Not have said. Oh.
Barry Murphy banged Tiger Woods.
Did
twice.
Tiger Woods plow this broad
balcony.
Or not? Loredana Jolie.
Loredana?
Loredana.
Can't make up shit like that. That's definitely not somebody Tiger went to high school with. You don't get a name like that in McGuanago.
it's taking a turn for the worse. You have a Walmart now. You never
Laura
know.
Donna Jolie.
Yeah.
I'll go with a yes.
That is correct. We have a tie in our hands.
A
Laura
tie.
Donna Jolie
hey.
Was a Playboy model.
A tie.
Was she allegedly was one of Tiger's model. Favorites. She is planning a book that will spill the beans on Woods' alleged sexual encounters. with men. Are you fucking kidding me? I didn't even see that.
Wait, what was that?
That Woods had alleged Tiger Woods gay sex? Laura Donna Jolie's juicy claim.
I did hear something once about a double-sided dildo on Ernie Els. I don't know. It doesn't seem gay.
We'll definitely dive on that. That's something
while wine tasting, I heard. I heard he was wine tasting.
A double dildo with Big Earn. That's something that I think we could talk 50 minutes
Laura
about.
Laura Donna
that.
Jolie is the girl from That 70s Show?
Come on.
No.
Who is this girl? That's her with the red hair.
No, that's not what's her name? That's not her.
I don't think that's true. However, if the Ernie Els, you know, double-sided dildo with Tiger Woods is true, that's something. I mean, that would
ass
be
to
that,
ass.
Is that,
would,
for next
that would put
time,
us on
sure.
the map. That's definitely something that would put the Daily Upper Decker on the map. Once again, this is the Daily Upper Decker. Find us online, dailyupperdecker.com, on Facebook and on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, and we even have a Vine now as well. So check that out. We'll be back next week with more sports and crap.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.